Yeah. Come on. Let's go. Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to a holiday edition of Tariq Radio, the 4th of July edition. I know everybody's off work. Everybody's out with the family, possibly with the family, doing the 4th of July thing. So we're doing it. We're making it pop off. So let everybody know that we're live right now. Let your friends and family know we're making it do what it do. We're going to have a good discussion on today's broadcast. But what we're going to do, fam, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Yo, check out the new music artist Professor Archibald and his new release, the Workforce Struggle EP. It's available right now on every streaming platform, YouTube, Apple Music, Amazon, Tidal, and many, many more. My man, Professor Archibald, also produces music as well, so if you need beats, hit him up on Twitter at ArchieProfess, or you can email him at ArchieBeats28@gmail.com. Would you like to make six figures or more providing court-mandated classes like anger management, DUI, or shoplifting prevention? If so, go to courtmandatedtraining.com and sign up for the free webinar that will help you get started, even if you have no experience. So if you want to get that bag, if you want to get some money and do it the right way, go to courtmandatedtraining.com to learn more. Again, that's courtmandatedtraining.com. Yo, is dating and relationships and life in general kicking your ass? Well, that might be because you think this is a game out here, and it's not. This is war. So come on a mission with Victory Unlimited, the world's first black self-help superhero, and listen to dating, relationship, and life strategy advice like you've never heard before. The Victory Unlimited Show, available at victoryunlimitedshow.com and everywhere else that great podcasts are heard. Attention parents and teachers, are you looking for something that will educate and relate to our children? If so, you need to order the Gifted and Lit bundle today. Gifted and Lit, that's an educational program that uses hip-hop to teach children mathematics, science, entrepreneurship, and much, much more. This bundle includes two DVDs, two CDs, a coloring book, and a workbook. Order your copies right now at giftedandlit.com. Again, that's giftedandlit.com. What's up, family? We're finally beginning to get on code for justice and economic empowerment, and now we gotta make our empowerment a lifestyle. So I introduce to you On Code Clothing. On Code Clothing is our thing, all black, everything, and fly. But make no mistake, this gear is exclusive and it's not for everyone. You gotta be grassroots aligned and in the know to truly appreciate this lifestyle brand. So check us out now at OnCodeClothing.com. Sign up and save 10% and enjoy free shipping on most orders. Again, that's OnCodeClothing.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Yo, what's going on, family? We're here. We're back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. on this special 4th of July edition. We're going to make it do what it do. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Everybody come on through. I hope y'all got your family with you. Blast this for the family in the house. I know somebody's uncle is making a barbecue sandwich right now, and somebody's auntie is making some potato salad. So we're making it do what it do. And by the way, don't forget, Hidden Colors 5 is coming to theaters worldwide in a couple of weeks. It will be worldwide August 1st, one day only, August 1st. Some days it's going to be on August 2nd. I know the New York screening is going to be August 2nd. The premiere is going to be out here in Los Angeles Wednesday, July 31st. And the UK premiere, and I'm going to be at the UK premiere, by the way. I'm going to be at the LA one, and then we're going over to the UK in Birmingham, England. That one is going to be August 4th. I think that's on Sunday. So get all your tickets at HiddenColorsFilm.com. HiddenColorsFilm.com. Find out what city the film is playing in near you. Shout out to everybody who got their tickets already. This is going to be the event of the summer. This is the event of the summer, of the decade. This is going to be the perfect film to close out the decade. You know, the end of the decade is next year. 2020 is next year. It's the end of the damn decade. Boy, time be flying, don't it? It's been 20 years since I wrote my book, The Art of Mackin'. I think I'm going to have to put out a 20-year anniversary edition, but it's been 20 years. That's a long-ass time. I feel like an old player when I can say I did some 20 years ago. Man, I spilled blood in Selma 20 years ago. I feel like that now. I feel like John fucking Lewis. But go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. If you don't have Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4, you need to get that so you can brush up on everything and also get the 1804 film, ladies and gentlemen. And you guys, if you want the DVD, the pre-order is on Amazon right now. So you can pre-order your DVD right now because this thing is going to be a huge seller, especially right when the movie comes out. This thing is going to be a monster, but you'll see. Anyway, so today is the 4th of July, and a lot of people on social media, it's been a lot of mixed feelings about the 4th of July. A lot of people are saying that black folks shouldn't celebrate no 4th of July. The 4th of July ain't for us. A lot of folks are getting mad at other people who celebrate the 4th of July. A lot of mixed feelings about it. People talk about the hypocrisy of the nation as far as the 4th of July. A lot of black people feel excluded with the 4th of July celebrations. A lot of black people, we feel like we should not be patriotic for the 4th of July. Some people say, oh, I ain't celebrating no damn 4th of July. But well, the thing is, by default, you celebrate. You celebrate by default just by being over here. If you're over here, you're celebrating. Let's be very clear. Let's be very clear. Even if you're not running around with flags and firecrackers or whatever, by default, you're celebrating because you're not working right now. Everything is closed. It ain't. If you are at home looking at a game or looking at some kind of 4th of July show, that's celebrating whether you want to believe it or not. And because a lot of things are closed, a lot of people cook. So if you cooking, you're like, well, fuck it. I ain't going to celebrate this shit, but I'm going to make me some barbecue. Nigga, you celebrate. Just because you ain't waving a flag around, you celebrate. Because if you over here, everything is closed. The stores are closed for the most part. Even if you go to a restaurant that's open, they got 4th of July stuff all around. So you celebrating. You dig? Whether you want to admit that you're celebrating or not, because again, we live in a system where we're told what to do and what to celebrate and what not to do and what not to celebrate. So the dominant society has created the holiday, and they're telling us what to do, and we're in their system. See, you're not you didn't take a break and say, fuck that, I ain't gonna celebrate, I'm about to go to Wakanda while y'all celebrate. Now, you didn't do that. You didn't do that. So let's be clear on what celebration means. See, we think celebrating means, you know, running around with a flag, just like Christmas. I don't celebrate no Christmas. Actually, you do. Because everything is closed on Christmas. The games are on during Christmas. So the Christmas celebrations come to you. Let's get that out the way. But a lot of black people are, again, a lot of black people feel like, well, what is there to be patriotic about? Because we are excluded. We are excluded. This is what we feel like. We feel excluded, and we feel like other people have a reason to be patriotic, but not us, because this country has not treated us with dignity. And I want black people to look at this thing another way. See, we're looking at this thing the wrong way. Now, you're correct to a certain degree, but I want black folks to look at this thing in the proper context. Because we always look at it from our perspective. What's our relation to this nation? No, what you need to ask, family, what does the 4th of July mean to white people? I want y'all to ask yourself that. What do you think the 4th of July means to white people? And I got a lot of people in my chat room right now. I would like for you to answer that question in the chat room. What do you think the 4th of July means for white people? See, we think, because we see a bunch of white people running around with flags all over the place with star-spangled banner hats and I love America this and I love America that, we think we're under the illusion that they are patriotic. This is where black people mess up. We got to understand this. Don't fall for that Jedi mind trick. All this fake patriotism, most of these white people don't believe none of that. Black people, we have to understand, foundational black Americans, we are actually the most patriotic people on this land. We are the most patriotic people on this land. We are the only people who 100% represent what the United States is supposed to be about. We are the only people who represent that. See, we're told that we're outsiders. No, we're the foundation. See, we have to acknowledge that we're the foundation. We're in the right. See, when we think that we're perpetual outsiders, we think on a subconscious level that we've done something wrong. We're the only people as a group who are the moral fiber of everything the United States is supposed to represent. This is why we don't have to go around flaunting the flags and all that. We don't have to do that because we live it. We embody it. We're the embodiment of that. These other people, they bastardize what we really represent. I want y'all to understand, these white people running around here with these flags and God bless America, America is the greatest, America, man, all that bullshit, they will drop that flag at the drop of a hat. If it doesn't maintain white supremacy the way they want it to maintain white supremacy, they will drop that flag overnight. These people don't give a damn about that flag or America. All white people in America, they have dual allegiances because they came and they immigrated from other countries. They immigrated from other countries that they can trace. So they've always had dual allegiances. Everybody else who comes over here has dual allegiances. Black Americans, foundational Black Americans, we don't. We don't have a dual allegiance to no other land. We don't. We don't have no dual allegiance to nobody else. This is our land and we represent this land. We don't represent anybody else or any other place or any other culture. So when we're referred to as African-American, which is a term that the white supremacists came up with and gave to Jesse Jackson and told Jesse Jackson to bring to black society, understand that. The term African-American, you're just talking about us genetically. But culturally, we have our own culture here. We have our own culture that we've created. This is our foundational land. See, we have to understand things from that perspective. Most of these people who pretend to be patriotic, the ones who are the most, the loudest flag thumpers, are the biggest white supremacists. They'll drop that flag. Just like this last week, they had Nike had this thing with Colin Kaepernick's shoes. There were some shoes that they were going to put out with Colin Kaepernick. Shout out to Colin. And the shoes had the old original American flag, which they called the Betsy Ross flag, which they incorrectly called the Betsy Ross flag. Now, that particular flag has been co-opted by a lot of different white supremacist groups, like the 3%ers and all these white supremacist militia groups. That flag in particular has been co-opted. So Cap didn't want the shoes to have that logo on there because he didn't want any kind of mistakes, people to associate that with white supremacy. So he nixed that. And a lot of the white supremacists was like, oh, this proves that he doesn't like America. See, the white supremacists try to wrap American patriotism around their white supremacy. And we don't let them do that. They try to wrap the Constitution around their white supremacy. Anybody, all these people running around here talking about the Constitution, they could give less than a damn about the Constitution. The white supremacists, they violate the Constitution every single day, and you see the way black folks are being slaughtered unconstitutionally. They'll ignore the Constitution at the drop of a hat. Either you believe in it or you don't. There is no half-ass in between. Either you're going to maintain the Constitution or you're not. And they have not. It's just that simple. They're not patriotic. The only person who's white, who's been honest about the Constitution and what America means to them, surprisingly, I only saw one person. Well, two, John Brown, and he fought and risked his life. And the other one is Richard Spencer. Richard Spencer, the white supremacist, the infamous white supremacist and alt-right leader, he was very honest. He said exactly what he meant about the flag and the Constitution and what it meant to him. And it means nothing. He's maintaining white supremacy. He wants to maintain white supremacy. So the flag and the Constitution, that means nothing. He was one of the few white people that was honest about that. And I can respect his honesty. Let me let y'all hear for yourself.
Actually, if whites are going to survive, we might actually have to involve in this world. The fact is, if whites are going to survive, we might actually have to get a little tough. We might even have to get a little nasty. Because I ultimately care about my extended family, my people, more
white, he mean white,
than I care about the United States of America, to be frank, more than I care about the Constitution, about all this kind of stuff. You know, if you could imagine being a German who was
okay, but that was Richard Spencer being brutally honest. And let me tell you something, most white people think that. And I can say most because of the common law that's practiced all over this country. You have to believe that in order to ignore the Constitution the way they do. He don't give a damn about the Constitution, and neither do most white people, because if they did, they would enforce it when it comes to black people getting slaughtered unconstitutionally. The fact that they do nothing about the Constitution being violated repeatedly means that they agree with Richard Spencer. And I'm talking either truth or non-truth. What I'm saying is true or it's not true. You understand? They don't care about no damn flag or no Constitution. They make up lies about patriotism and this country all the time. Even the whole Betsy Ross thing. The whole Betsy Ross thing is a lie, by the way. Betsy Ross didn't sew the damn American flag. Betsy Ross did not sew the American flag. It was a white slave owner that came up with that first design. 100 years after the death of Betsy Ross, her family came along around 1876 when they had the centennial celebrations. They wanted to finesse and capitalize off that, so they came up with this lie that Betsy Ross met George Washington and he told her to sew a flag. That's a damn lie. That didn't happen. There's zero evidence that that happened. Look that up. Betsy Ross didn't sew shit. But they wanted to create this patriotic narrative so that white girls could have a white female hero to look up to. Because there were no white female heroes. I've always said this. There are no white, really, when you look at history, especially the history of America, there are no white women heroes. White women, generally, they haven't done anything really heroic except maintain white supremacy. So again, they had to create a white woman hero with Betsy Ross. And speaking of the flag, if we want to go real deep, the current flag, the stars and stripes, the person who really sold that was a black girl named Grace Wisher. I want y'all to look that name up. Look up Grace Wisher. She was a black girl, enslaved. They said she was an indentured servant, but there was this white woman who was commissioned to sew the flag, and they said that she got the black girl to, quote unquote, assist her. So you know what that means. They said the black girl, Grace Wisher, assisted the white woman. So you know what that means. The black girl did it. We know what that means. Look up Grace Wisher, the teenage black girl who sold the flag. But they're going to say that she assisted the white woman. Now, y'all know at your job, when you assist and there's a white woman who wants you to help out at the job, your white female supervisor, and she says, Taquasia, I want you to assist me. That means she wants you to do it. Be very clear. They want you to do it. So the black girl did it. You can believe the black girl did it, and the white woman just took credit for it. We always assisted. It's that black assistant that he's really doing all the work. So we know what that means. But look up Grace Wisher, and let's pour out a libation for Grace. This is why I say we're the most patriotic. We put our hands on all of this stuff. Our hands are all over the history of this nation. All the great things of it. Oh, don't let me get on inventions and stuff like that. I got a book upstairs and I got to break that down. But we've invented so much shit in this country that we do not get credit for. Because before, I think 1850, something like that. One of those times, black folks couldn't get a patent. I mean, you can invent whatever and they would not let you get a patent. No matter who you are. Who you were, rather. They would not let black people patent anything. And black folks would come up with all these inventions. I mean, just countless inventions, and you just couldn't get a patent on it. You dig? So we sat up and just invented and done things and just never got credit for it. But I digress. But the thing is, we are the most patriotic people on this land. We don't have any dual allegiances as every other group does. This is why they'll drop the American flag and pick up a damn Confederate flag. Remember, it was Southern whites who tried to destroy the United States. They had no problem destroying the United States. And if it weren't for black people joining the Union Army, that's the thing that helped keep the United States back together. This nation was about to be destroyed by the white supremacists. They were going to just tear this shit up. They were going to split this nation up. It was about to not be the United States. The Confederates, they were going to do their own thing. And they were beating the brakes off the Union, the Northern soldiers. And the Northern soldiers said, hey, let's get some of these niggas to fight. And then when black people joined the Civil War fighting for the Union, that's when they started to win. So we, again, saved the United States. And again, let's go back. The Revolutionary War is Crispus Attucks, the first brother to take a bullet for the United States, was a black dude. And we have fought in every single war in this country. We are the most patriotic. We've even fought countries and people who were hostile, and then they were allowed to come over here and then rise up over us. So when we talk about the greatness of America, you're talking about black people. When we talk about the melting pot, what's the melting pot? America's not a melting pot at all. America is a place that's full of segregation. People, different groups are segregated into their own little enclaves. It's not a melting pot. The only melting pot is black America. Everybody gets dumped on us. We clean them up, shine them up, and then they extrapolate resources from us, and then they segregate themselves away from us. We are the melting pot. White people ain't no damn melting pot. They don't let people go into their little neighborhoods, their enclaves. They don't let you go there. When immigrants come over, you cannot go to a white neighborhood. That's not no damn melting pot. Asians, you're not going into their areas when they set up shop where they live and sleep. You're not going into their areas and all these other groups. We're the melting pot. Everybody comes and dumps on us, and we have to accept everybody. And then they drain us for the resources that we have and then turn on us. See, this is why when black folks are talking about looking out for ourselves, everybody starts trembling, because now the melting pot is going to change a little bit, which is what it should do. So when we start talking about we're going to circle our wagons, we're not going to include all these other groups with us. Now everybody wants to cry foul. Oh, y'all being xenophobic. Well, it's going to be what it is then. We should have been circling our wagons, because nobody's helping us. And when we start talking about helping ourselves, everybody starts trembling, because now we're about to break up that little racial pyramid that they have, where we're on the bottom and everybody else is on top. See, when we start looking out for each other, we're going to break that pyramid down, as we should. So we should look at patriotism from that perspective. That's how we should look at it. This is why people are trembling right now when we're talking about getting reparations. We're talking about getting tangibles. They're doing everything they can to throw us under the bus and try to break us up. They're trying to break us up now. And we've been talking about this as far as the Democrats now, because we are holding them to the fire. We're telling them we're not going to support them unless they give us resources. Unless we get those reparations. So what they're going to do now, they're going to try to throw us under the bus, and they're going to try to salvage some of the black female votes. So what you're going to see now, family, you're going to see a lot of bedwinching pandering. There's going to be a lot of this bedwinch talk right now. They're going to try to get sisters to join the bedwinch bus. Y'all going to see this heavy. I'm telling you, you're about to see a plethora of bedwinch pandering. They're going to try to get y'all on the bedwinch bus, sisters, and I don't want the sisters to fall for that. And they're starting young. The other day, yesterday on Twitter, they had they were talking about this black girl. Her name is Holly Bailey. She's going to be the new Ariel for the Mermaid movie, the My Little Mermaid? What movie is that? Because I don't watch moist shit like that, but what is it? They made a whole big deal about the little black girl. I don't know if she's little, but this black girl, she's going to play Ariel the mermaid. And we had a lot of Negroes running around high-fiving. Oh, I'm here for this. Yes. Yes, I'm here for this. Now, there was a couple of fake mad white supremacists, but Negroes are celebrating that this girl is going to be Ariel the little mermaid. And y'all understand what the trick bag of this is going to be. Y'all know her love interest is going to be a lily white man. They're going to have her bedwinching in the sea. It's not going to be the little mermaid. It's going to be the little mammy maid. She's going to be a bed wench mammy making butter biscuits with sea salt. That's what this is going to be. Underwater pancakes and biscuits. This is about to be bed wench fest. They're letting the little girls know, hey, don't you want to be a princess, little black girl? If you want to be a little princess, you better get you a zaddy. You better get you a zaddy. You better understand propaganda. You better understand propaganda. They about to tell these little girls what you need to do to be a good bed wench. And they're already talking this thing. The Democrats, they've been using the same talking points to throw black folks under the bus by saying that black men are racist and black people are racist and we don't want to support Kamala Harris because she has a white man. Y'all remember when Roland said that the other day? Roland got his little jolly chunky ass on TV and said that the black men are racist. They mad because she with a white man. They got another bed wench they put on TV. Carlina Maxwell. Now she's a zaddy worshiping bed wench. And let me let y'all hear her. See, when y'all hear the same talking points over and over, this is the white supremacists at the Democratic Party writing down the talking points and sending their Negro minions out to regurgitate them for them. So these are white supremacist talking points. Let's be very clear, because so many of these people are saying the same thing. Because black people are rejecting Kamala Harris, they're going to try to throw all black folks under the bus, black men in particular, and the whole excuse is we're hating on her because she's with a white man and all this stuff.
Controversy surrounding race that she is going to have to deal with moving forward.
I think that this is just a start of a lot of controversies that are going to come her way because she's a black woman. She's going to face a lot of scrutiny in a similar way, but not the exact same way that Barack Obama did. So one thing I think that's going to come up is the fact that her husband is white. And I think that certain men of color will have an issue with this. And I just want to put a marker down here to say that if you have an issue with that, you need to work that out in therapy and not at the ballot box.
That's right.
This mammy bed wench. Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. Now, let me speak for black men. Ain't nobody checking for Kamala Harris sexually like that. Let's just get off that bullshit. Ain't nobody checking for her sexually to the point where we would give a damn if she has a zaddy or not. We don't care. Brothers ain't checking for Kamala Harris like that. That don't bother us. That's that whole thing. Well, they just mad because she got her zaddy. No, we don't care. I'm gonna say that's for most black men. We don't care. We don't care. We don't care who she's laying up with. You don't see people talking about her zaddy. Nobody's bringing that up. The biggest complaint people have about her is her damn policies. She get with Zaddy and her and Zaddy discuss how they gonna start throwing black folks under the bus. Nobody give a damn about Kamala's over the hill. Come on, nobody gives a shit about her like that sexually to the point where we care about who she's laying up with. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. I promise you, we ain't checking for Kamala like that. We don't care. As if we're jealous. They say, well, y'all just jealous. Y'all just jealous because a white man got that. No, he can have that. Now, you can have that. Just these policies I got a problem with. It's these policies. And the thing is, they're trying to throw black men under the bus, but the reality is black women ain't checking for Kamala Harris. Black women ain't checking for no Kamala Harris. That's the reality. Black women are not supporting her. And they know this. And you know why black women are not supporting Kamala Harris? Because black women can see through her. Black women can see through Kamala Harris a mile away. You know why black women can see through Kamala Harris? Because a lot of black women, when you go to work, you have a supervisor just like Kamala Harris. Oh, some of y'all got these fake ass supervisors who goes out of their way really to distance themselves from other black women. Let's be very clear. Remember, up until recently, Kamala Harris was always described as damn Indian American. Remember that? They kept describing her as Indian American. I didn't hear her complaining about that. I didn't see her correcting nobody. Let's be very clear. So we've seen that. You've seen these exotic mammies at your job as the supervisor. If you say, hey, girl, are you mixed? You black? Oh, no, girl. I'm Cape Verdean. I'm not black at all. I'm Dominican. I'm not black. Oh, they go out of their way to let everybody know they ain't black. Oh, I'm not like y'all. They go out of their way to make sure nobody associates them with black. And then when it's convenient, all of a sudden it's sister girl time. Just like the fake ass supervisors at your job. They, you know, those mammy bed wenches at your job. They kiss white ass all day and then come around you with the fake sister girl talk. Girl, where you get that shirt from? I got to get me one of them, girl. They talk that fake sister girl shit and then go back to the supervisors, to the bosses, snitching on your ass. See, they send those Kamala Harrises down there to the lowly departments where you work to keep tabs on you, to find out what you're doing, what you're talking about, what's going on with you, what's on your mind, any grievances you might have. See, she goes down there and hangs around some of the other sisters on the job and starts low-key taking shots at the boss. Man, Mr. Davis is working me like crazy up here. Lord, I don't want to be a supervisor sometime. I know, girl, Mr. Davis be having me do all this shit. Then you start telling on Mr. Davis, Mr. White Zaddy, and then she go back telling everything you said. They be down there trying to get intel. Y'all dealt with those Kamala Harris. Those are the kind, that's what Kamala Harris represents. That's what she represents. That's why sisters are rejecting her. They'll play that sister girl role, but at the end of the day, they'll throw your ass under the bus because they don't see themselves as you. Look at the people who were affected by Kamala's policies. It was black women. A lot of black women were affected by Kamala's policies. Those truancy laws where the kids were skipping school and she's throwing black mothers in jail. You understand? Let's be very clear. But we got to understand how the game works, fam. We got to understand how this game works and we don't go for the okey-doke. But black folks, we should be circling our wagons. We should be patriotic to our group. And once we get our group strong and not let ourselves be a melting pot, which is really a toilet. We're not a melting pot in a real sense. Actually, we're a toilet. We allow people to use black society as a big toilet. You can throw anything and we're supposed to accept it. Just like the Kamala Harrises. When they come around, we got to accept them as black. See how they force stuff on black society. If we reject Kamala Harris and be like, no, I don't look at her as one of us. I mean, no. Oh, well, no, you can't be xenophobic now. Come on. The hell we can't. We can tell people to kick rocks and get the fuck out of our faces. We can tell people that, and don't y'all be scared to tell them. We don't have to accept no damn Kamala Harris. That woman comes from, like I said, two different cultures who can give less than a shit about us. That Jamaican culture she's from, she's part of that Coley culture, which the people over there, that elitist culture, they don't give a shit about the black Jamaicans there. And you know how they feel about black people in Indian culture, so they come over here and we're supposed to accept them and they don't accept us? No. We don't have to be the toilet for all these other groups. See, when we start thinking like that, this is how we get strong. We do not get strong by letting all these other groups come among us. And that's why we're so damn weak now. This is why so many people are infiltrating us now. We just let anybody in. They have dual allegiances to other lands, cultures, and nations. So they have no problem throwing us under the bus. We have to circle our wagons and be patriotic to each other. So that's how I look at patriotism. I'm patriotic to foundational Black Americans because we're the real patriots. And then once we get strong enough, because we're the only ones who's going to really, really, really go after systematic white supremacy, because we're in the belly of the beast. Even though systematic white supremacy is worldwide, people are fighting it worldwide over there in Israel. Black Ethiopian teen, he got killed, and they're rioting over there in the streets now. You understand? See, we got to look at how white supremacy works and how warfare works. See, the white supremacy, they only believe in white supremacy and maintaining white supremacy. They don't believe in nations. They don't believe in nations, geographical boundaries, none of that stuff. See, we got to understand how military works. This is why y'all need to go see Hidden Colors 5. We break down, we talk about the art of Black warfare. And most of the movie, we're not talking about military warfare for most of the movie, because warfare is a constant thing. Military is the last resort, but warfare is constantly waged. And the white supremacists, they utilize warfare every single day. We think warfare is direct violence and military arms, but warfare is all about psychological, mental, biological, educational targeting. There's so much that goes into warfare. And see, we don't understand that. See, we think because a white supremacist is being polite, that that person is not practicing warfare. This is the biggest mistake that we make. The biggest mistake that Black people make is thinking that because white supremacists are polite, we think that they're not practicing warfare. And see, that's the advantage that the white supremacists have over Black people. See, the advantage they have is not military arms. It's not education, because you can give Black people military arms and you just go shoot other Negroes. It's not education, because you can go give a Black person a college degree and all types of education, and all he's going to do is basically use it to be a bigger coon for the most part. The advantage that the white supremacists have over Black people, they learn how to get on code very quickly. And also they learn how to get on code without you outright telling them what to get on code about. I'm going to break that down again. I want y'all to listen to me. This is how they get us. The white supremacists, they know how to get on code without everything being laid out verbally. They know how to get on code through osmosis. They know how to get on code with each other and pick up codes and pick up messages from other white people without it even being said. You know what to do, because their primary focus is maintaining white supremacy. So everything else kind of falls in place. Their molecular structure and their DNA and all their thought patterns know how to fall in line with that ultimate goal in mind. Black folks, we don't know how to get on code for shit. As a matter of fact, you can spell it out for niggas and they still don't know how to get it. You gotta write it down, spell it out, and by that time you've been infiltrated. And that's because we don't have an ultimate goal. See, our ultimate goal should be Black empowerment by any means. That should be our ultimate goal. But even that ultimate goal, you'll get pushback from niggas. If you say, hey, let's get some black empowerment going on. If you say that to somebody like John Lewis, remember that clip of John Lewis I played where Stokely Carmichael was talking about black power and John Lewis was like, I had to leave, SNCC. I didn't want to do that black power. I had to leave. You start talking about black empowerment, boy, biscuit crumbs start dropping all over the place. That scares niggas. When you start talking about empowering black people, niggas get scared of that. Because psychologically, you've been taught that white people are your gods. See, they've gotten you psychologically. See, this is why you got to remove that psychological white god. This is what, let's go back to Haiti. When you look at Bookman and those people, part of Bookman's prayer, part of that prayer is remove your white gods. Get that white god out of your mind. We got to get that white god out that mind first before we can have a real revolution. Because if you have white god in your mind on a subconscious level, you're going to want to protect white people. You're not going to step to them. Just like niggas, when a white person gets hurt, when a white person does something and somebody's about to give them that work, niggas start putting the cape on trying to save them. You didn't? That's why in the Hidden Colors film, I make sure, and in many of the past films, I've made sure not to be so hard on white people, because I knew how Negroes would act. If you're too hard on white people, Negroes will start getting sympathetic. If you go too hard, and I told you on the first Hidden Colors, we had Shahrazad Ali in the first Hidden Colors, and she was in, I think, the third one too. But the first one, there was a lot of stuff that I cut out of her because she was going so hard. And I said, I know how black folks are. If I show her going this hard on these white supremacists, we're going to have some mammies and some butlers get upset. So let me tone it down a little bit. And it worked. But let me tell you something. Shahrazad Ali is in Hidden Colors 5. Shahrazad Ali is in Hidden Colors 5. Let me tell you something. I didn't cut shit. I let her go off on this one. Okay? This one is real. This one, HC5, is raw. I didn't cut her on this one. I'm letting her go off. I'm just warning y'all now. So if you got a zaddy or if you're a bedwench or you're a bed buck, if you take them to the movies, just let them know some things might make them a little uncomfortable, all right? I didn't cut off shit on this one. I'm letting the queen speak on this one. And she is going all the way off. You dig? So the thing is, we have to understand warfare. You see? And we got to understand how white supremacy works. See, a lot of Negroes out here like, ain't nobody supreme over me. And as Dr. Welsing said, supreme means basically I can kill you with impunity and you can't kill me. See, that's what you got to understand. That's what supreme means. The white supremacists can kill you with impunity, but you cannot kill them. It's just that simple. So no matter how mad and upset you get, you can't go, even when these white supremacists are slaughtering your children, you can't do anything to them without punishment, without a severe pushback. You can't do nothing to one of them. Even our black elected officials won't even do nothing to them. Just like Barack Obama, he was the president and he couldn't do anything to one white race soldier for killing black people. Not that he wanted to do anything anyway. He's the president and couldn't punish one. He couldn't punish nobody. But let's look at the flip side. There was a white woman, a random white woman from the United States, went over to Uganda, just walked into Uganda, acted like she was a doctor and allegedly, and I'm just using allegedly just for legal purposes, but allegedly for legal purposes, this white woman killed over 100 damn kids in Uganda and just walked back out and is back over here now. That's white supremacy. She's not in jail. Yeah, she's not in jail. White woman's not in jail at all. She's chilling. Oh, hold on one second. I got to sign something for my man. How you doing? All right, here you go. Sorry, guys. Hold on. All right. Thank you. All right. Sorry about that. I had to sign something. My maid came in. I know I'm sounding like a bougie nigga. Yes, my maid and my butlers. Okay, I'm sounding like a bougie nigga. Okay. Sorry about that, guys. All right. But, what was I saying? Yeah. I was saying that, that's this white woman is accused of killing all those black children over there. And she has a lawyer over here, and she's like, well, yeah, I never said I was a doctor. I mean, she sounds like a dingy-ass valley girl when she talks. She sounds like a dingy-ass valley girl. You dig? But white supremacists like that, or suspected white supremacists like that, they're all over the place. And they use their politeness to get in. See, we think just because they're polite that they're not practicing white supremacy. They think because, what's that white woman's, I don't even know her name. Y'all can look it up. Just look up the white woman who went to Uganda. Just look that up. And let me tell y'all something. And again, they're not going to punish her. They don't punish, these white supremacists, they've always been able to walk into a black land and just exterminate people by the hundreds and even the thousands, and nothing happens to them. And they're just walking around. Y'all just never hear about it. There's another dude over in South Africa now, Wouter Bassan. I'm sorry, his name is Wouter Bassan. Let me spell his name: Wouter, last name Bassan, Basson. Wouter Bassan, look that name up. He's over there in South Africa right now. He's still in South Africa. He was a cardiologist over there, white supremacist. And this dude, back in the 80s, you know, during the apartheid regime, this dude had some, like, created some kind of ethnic chemical gas that would target melanin, and he was over there killing people in South Africa. He had this gas, these chemicals that would attack melanin, and they killed thousands of people over there. And he's, you know, they had these little kangaroo courts for him, and, you know, all these little loopholes they tried to get him and letting him go and all this for years. And he's free now. He's still alive over there in South Africa right now. Wouter Bassan. Last name Basson. This dude had ethnic chemicals that would target melanin, and it was over there killing people. And he's still over there now. Wouter Bassan, white supremacist. You dig? That's what white supremacy is. We can go in here and wipe thousands of you out, and we're still chilling. That's white supremacy. Y'all better believe that's what it is. See, the price of freedom is death. Always understand that. The price of freedom is death. And the thing is, they don't mind us getting angry about shit like that. The problem they'll have is if we get strategic. That's the thing. They don't have no problem with us getting angry. Because see, the white supremacists, you know, they know that emotions change. That we get to yelling and screaming. You know, oh, let's let them march around a little bit. We might let them throw some rocks or some bottles at a few windows. You know, they'll tear up a little property, but that's insured, so these niggas are actually gonna make us some money by tearing up the buildings and the windows. We're gonna flip their insurance and get that popping. So let's let them blow off some steam a little bit. As a matter of fact, we'll have some of our agents down there to direct them where to go. Like they did out there in North Carolina. They had some of those agent coons. When people were headed towards the police department, they were the coons were telling people to go downtown so they can tear up some of the windows there. They couldn't burn the buildings down downtown, but they could burst a few windows and they could make their money on the insurance. But they understand. Let's let some Negroes, you know, we'll kill their kids and, you know, they'll get mad and we'll let them blow off some steam. But anger is an emotion, so the anger will subside. Yeah, the anger, they'll calm down, and when they calm down, they go back to doing their nigga shit. See, the thing is, they get worried when you're not angry. See, they don't mind you yelling and screaming and all that. They get worried when you start looking at things from a calm and logical perspective. You understand? See, black folks think, we think by yelling and screaming the loudest we're doing something. They love that because to them, that's just a beast yelling. Just like, you know, they use the analogy that we be chimping out. Oh God, the blacks are going to start chimping out like apes. And that's how they try to put us in that category. Like, oh, the big ape gorilla is just running around mad. We got cages for them. So we'll let them run around a little bit, but, you know, we'll tase them or tranquilize him pretty soon and put him back in the cage. We expect that from our apes. See, that's their thinking. See, we expect that from our apes. We expect apes to chimp out. But the problem is, what if one of those apes starts thinking? I want y'all to look at how they think. I'm telling y'all how they think. This is what the movie Planet of the Apes was about. Look at the last Planet of the Apes movie. Look at what these movies are about. It's a bunch of all these apes, but it's one real smart ape who's the leader, who's outthinking them. See, that they tell you some of their insecurities and fears in their movies. And their fear is their apes that they've created, Caesar, what if their apes start outsmarting them? All the apes ain't yelling and jumping around. Caesar's sitting up here watching your ass, studying you, planning and plotting. That's the one they're worried about. So they always let you know, yeah, we look at these niggas as apes and monkeys and all that old shit, but one of these niggas might figure us out. If one figures us out and then they start to galvanize others, then we're in trouble. So, yeah, we can sit up and poke fun at our apes and monkeys, but there is a possibility for them to outsmart our ass. So we need to be on our P's and Q's. See, this is the messages that they tell each other in these movies. You understand? And the name of the game with them is to always look for ways to constantly undermine black society. This is why they're coming so hard with this homophobia agenda thing. They're coming very hard with that thing. Just like with this Lil Nas X thing, where the rapper Lil Nas X came out. Now, they planned that from day one. They planned to promote this guy. First of all, Lil Nas X came out of nowhere. Where did this dude come from? Where did Lil Nas X come? He just pops out of nowhere with this big push. They pushed him out there. Nobody heard about this guy on the underground or anything like that, or through the mixtape circuit. A lot of rappers, when they come out, you heard about them on the mixtape circuit. You heard about them. They were connected with some other DJ or some other producer. That's how you hear about them. Just like with Kendrick Lamar, he was on the underground doing his thing for a long time before he broke nationwide. A lot of these dudes, they work the mixtape circuit before they break. This nigga just came out of nowhere. Lil Nas literally came out of nowhere. So they planted that dude. Just like when he came out, like, Lil Nas X, who the fuck is that? Everybody was like, who is that? Nas, why is he using Nas's name? That was another thing. You using another rapper's name. That's by design, too, because Nas is one of the greatest rappers ever. So now they didn't push this new nigga out here. Nobody knows with the name Nas in his name. I think that's by design, too. You understand? So now whenever you look Nas up, the rapper Nas, the legendary rapper Nas, Lil Nas X comes up. That's not by accident. They used to do that with my books. When I came out with The Art of Mackin', these white publishers start putting out all these other books with the word Mackin' in it or The Art Of. So when people looked up my books, they would pick up and pull up all these bullshit books. You dig? So that's interesting right there. So now this dude has a hot record out. They push this record, give it a lot of push, and all of a sudden this new nigga that don't nobody know about, he got this record that comes out of nowhere, and all of a sudden he gets Billy Ray Cyrus. What kind of connections does this nigga have on his first single? He don't even have an album out. He don't have an album out now, do we? And this dude got pulled to get Billy Ray Cyrus? I mean, that dude was planted. They planted that dude in here. You dig? So there was an agenda from day one. They always, and I noticed they kept pushing Lil Nas X in schools. He kept performing in schools. They would take him to schools where little kids were performing that Old Town Road song. It's a very catchy song. So I thought that was unusual. They kept letting this dude perform at schools. I said, okay, that's interesting. They really pushing this dude to the school kids. And then all of a sudden, he comes out of the closet. You dig? And then when he came out, look at some of the stuff that was being said online. And this is very interesting. And this was a concerted effort from multiple people within the white LBG community pushing this. They were saying, aha, Lil Nas X tricked all the homophobes. They were saying that over and over. I kept seeing that narrative over and over again. Yay, Lil Nas X tricked all the homophobes into supporting his music. He tricked the homophobes. Okay. They kept using the term tricked and kept using the term homophobes. First of all, when Lil Nas X came out, nobody really cared. Nobody cares about this dude being whatever. We don't care. Nobody really cares. Nobody really batted an eye. Nobody cares. Because that song, Old Town Road, a lot of kids like it. It's a catchy song, but... And this nigga's running around here with cowboy boots and a hat, so the hip-hop crowd... This dude was never real serious contender in the hip hop community. Everybody was like, okay. Nobody really didn't give a shit. It's a catchy little novelty song. Okay, it's a fun little catchy novelty song. This is the whoops, there it is of this time. It's a catchy novelty song. Nobody's tripping on it. But this whole... We're going to rub it in the face of the homophobes and all. They're pushing that homophobe narrative for no reason. And remember, they keep pushing this black people are homophobic narrative. Black people are homophobic. Black trans people are killed because of the homophobia in the black community. They keep pushing this narrative. And they're pushing this worldwide. And over there in the UK... A couple of black children were suspended from school because they tried to teach some kind of LGBT agenda at school, some kind of curriculum. And the black kids, it was a couple of black kids were like, I really don't want to do this. One of the kids was in the UK. His family's Jamaican, so naturally they have reservations about that. And there's another little black girl. and they didn't want to be a part of these LGBT curriculums. I think they had coloring books or some LG, something like that. And the kids were, they felt uncomfortable about that, rightfully so. Because you're trying to teach kids a certain part of sexuality, and a lot of kids don't want to be sexualized. When you talk about an LGBT curriculum, you're talking about sex education. I remember as a kid going to school, before you took sex education, you had to get a note from your parents. Do y'all remember that? I remember as a kid, if you were to have a sexual education teacher come, you would have to get your parents to sign to say that it was okay for you to even listen to a sex ed coach. You would have to get permission. Now, it's like, we're going to force this shit on you. We're going to force sexuality on children now. And there's some children who are naturally trying to reject this. Why are you teaching that to children? They're opening that door to pedophilia. They're opening that door, and they know that black children are going to be disproportionately affected by that pedophile thing that they're pushing in. Out there in Illinois, they just signed an executive order. The governor signed an executive order to protect transgender students. They did that this week. They just signed an executive order to protect transgender students. Now, there's black people getting slaughtered all over the place. Nobody's signing anything to protect us from nothing, but what they're going to do is now prioritize protecting transgender students. Now, let's ask questions. Who are they protecting them from? We got to watch the trick bag, guys. Who are they protecting trans students from? That's what we got to ask. See, that's the double-edged sword they're getting us with. They're going to protect them from black people because, remember, black people are the real homophobes. Remember? Black people are the ones who are homophobic. And when you protect these trans students from black people, what's the punishment going to be? Because if you put an executive order in, that means you're protecting and punishing. You're protecting one group from somebody, and you're going to punish that somebody. I've been telling y'all, they're going to start using these LGBT laws to punish black people, and these laws are riding in on the civil rights laws that were meant for black people. So they're using these LGBT laws that's riding the civil rights laws to directly undermine black people. This is a chess move that they've been running, guys. They've been running this chess move, and the fact that they get black folks to go along with it, they can say, well, it's them. It's the black folks who wanted me to do it. This is why we cannot co-sign that. Let's be very clear. All my gay black brothers and sisters, they ain't going to protect you from the Ed Bucks of the world. I'm telling you that. They ain't about to protect you from Ed Buck and Jeffrey Dahmer and people like that. Those people in the LGBT community, they're not protecting you from that at all. You see, they're already targeting black children. See who they're targeting? Let me tell you, because white kids are just, white society is homophobic. I mean, they're the ones who got all these laws that's not letting white people who are gay get married. They're the ones doing that. But the black kids are the ones who are getting suspended. It's the black kids who are getting targeted. You understand? Understand this game, man. This shit is real out here. And the thing is, and let me talk to the gay black brothers and sisters. Yeah, Ed Buck is still free, and that's why I got zero respect for the white LGBT community as far as civil rights. As long as they keep protecting him, you get zero respect. You're just another group of white supremacists. But what they'll do, they'll praise a handful of token gay black people. They'll praise them for being sex workers, just like the Stonewall situation. They praise the black sex workers, the black men who are reduced to having to get into the sex trade because the white gay community, they're not sharing any resources with them. There is no community for the black LGBT. They just get whatever crumbs from gutter sex that the white LGBT throw at them. So on one hand, they'll celebrate these guys being in the sex industry and being used for gutter sex. And then on the other hand, they'll criminalize them. They'll praise them for something and then criminalize them for the same thing they're praising them for. And they've always done this. Same thing with weed. You know, the weed smoker rap, they promoted that very heavy. And, you know, telling black folks that smoking weed and being weed heads is the lick and that's where you should go with it, and then throwing these weed laws where you get locked up for weed and they lock you up and throw away the key. There's brothers in jail now who were thrown in jail in the 90s for weed and who's in jail right now, and all the white people are getting legalized weed licenses and you got brothers in jail for weed who were locked up in the 90s. You understand? So we got to understand the game and understand why we should be patriotic to each other. And we got to always look at what we can do to empower. Black empowerment should always be the goal. The end goal should be black empowerment by any means. Not swirling, not cupcaking, not being the melting pot. Black empowerment is the lick. How are we going to empower ourselves? We have to empower ourselves by any means. If we don't have time to be confused. I see a lot of black folks, when you point out how systematic white supremacy works, black folks start asking questions like, oh my God, why are white people doing this to us? I hear that a lot. Why are they doing this? And the answer is, it don't matter. Dr. Welsing broke down why. She broke it down eloquently in her book, The ISIS Papers. But at this point, doesn't matter why. Because when we ask why at this point, that's just a way to stall. We're trying to find some kind of humanity in them to make them stop, and they're not going to stop. Doesn't matter why. If you are being stung by a swarm of killer bees, are you going to stop and say, why are these bees stinging me? Is that what you're going to do? Why are these bees, every time I come out the house, these bees sting me. Why are these bees stinging me the way they are? Now, you're going to start thinking of ways to protect yourselves from those killer bees. And the problem is, you're listening to other bees try to get your mind off the killer bees. So when you're getting stung by a bunch of killer bees, and somebody comes along and says, well, all bees don't sting. Just like they do with black folks. When we talk about fighting systematic white supremacy and systematic racism, somebody white comes around and says, well, all white people are not racist. How does that help me? Why are you telling me this? What the hell does that have to do with my current predicament? That has nothing to do with what I'm going through now. I'm getting stung by killer bees. I don't want to hear about other bees that don't sting. That doesn't benefit me right now. Are those other non-stinging bees going to come over here and fight these killer bees off me? If they're not, why are you telling me this? See, they're telling you this so that you can allow yourself to be stung and just deal with it. because those are really other killer bees telling you this. They just want you to accept your predicament. You understand? That's why we got to stop listening to those in the dominant society. We got to stop waiting on a confession from them. You better stop waiting on them to confess. The name of the game with them is to deny no matter what. They're going to deny, deny, deny. No matter how much evidence you have, they're going to deny. And that's what they're supposed to do. They want to maintain the system. They're not going to tell you how to break the system down that benefits them. So you don't listen to your enemy tell you what the game is. You understand? But we have to understand how these white supremacists are and how anybody who allows the system of white supremacy to go on is complicit. See, we have to look at different types of white supremacists. See, a lot of people in the dominant society, they love the police because the police does their dirty work, but they are still complicit. Anybody who goes along and makes excuses for race soldiers killing black people, those are white supremacists. They're no better. They're no better than the race soldier that pulled that trigger. I want y'all to understand that. They are no better. Anybody who co-signs that or makes excuses or don't do anything about it, they are complicit. We have to look at it like that. Because let me tell you something. They make you complicit when you do something and you fight back or somebody fights back and they look like you. They make you complicit. Over there in St. Louis, a brother got charged with second-degree murder for giving a check to somebody. A police officer got shot at a check-cashing place by this one dude. And, you know, they got that guy and they charged him. But it was another guy who didn't have anything to do with the police officer getting shot at all. This one dude gave the shooter a check to cash. And the check, I think the check was fraudulent or whatever. And when the shooter went to cash the check, the man behind the counter called the police. When the police showed up, the shooter shot the cop. So the man who gave the check got charged with second degree murder. They made him complicit. Listen to what I'm saying. This dude just gave somebody a check to cash. I don't know if he knew the check was good or not. We don't know. I don't know. He just gave somebody a check. Nobody knew the police was going to show up. Nobody knew there was going to be a murder or nothing. This dude wanted somebody to cash a check, and this dude, second degree murder. They made him complicit, and he didn't pull the trigger, wasn't even in there. But they said he's complicit. All the people who allow systematic white supremacy to go down, they're complicit too. That's how you got to look at it. They are all complicit. Just like they make us complicit, they are complicit. You got to keep that same energy. Basically, they use the I'm white and I say so law on them. You then? Yeah, and this is why I always question that thing with the Nipsey Hussle case. That woman who was the getaway driver in the Nipsey Hussle case. Why is this woman still walking around, running around right now? And she drove this man. And she's running around right now doing interviews with TMZ, and they got her in protective custody. There is no way that law enforcement or somebody didn't orchestrate this. And what's interesting about this, and I want everybody to ask this question about that getaway driver in the Nipsey Hussle murder, who was with the Eric Garner dude. Eric Holder, the killer. I always ask this question because nobody's answering this question, because they're making it seem like, oh, she was held against her will. I don't know how they're making this thing, how they're trying to spin it. But this woman is free right now. And she's scared for her life because people are threatening her. So the police got her in protective custody. And just, I want to know, where did she drop him off? Notice nobody's answering that question. where did she drop Shitty Cuz off? Why is this woman alive? Why is she not in jail? Why is she giving interviews? Why has she not been charged? And where did she drop that dude off? If she's the getaway driver, where did she drop him off? That's all I want to know. I want to know that. And they ain't answering that one. For some reason, nobody's saying where she dropped him off. TMZ is not asking this question. Where did she drop him off after he did that murder? That's the most logical question you can ask. Okay, if you ain't complicit and you didn't do nothing, you ain't in on it, you were scared, where did you drop him off? And the reason why they ain't answering that is because they were all in on it. The police, all the shit, they took this dude somewhere in some type of protective place and protected this dude. Where did she take this guy? Where did she go? Because let me tell you something. Remember, with the Nipsey case, everybody knew who she was, by the way. Remember, before the news told y'all who the killers were, who the killer was, people were circulating Eric Holder's picture and hers, too. The streets knew who she was. So they knew who she was and where she was. Her house, rather. But where did she go? Where did they go? How did they avoid the streets? Forget about police. How did they avoid the streets? Everybody was looking for their ass. There's no way that this is just some hate nigga shooting. No way. None of that makes no damn sense. They had them up at some safe house somewhere. You think some dusty little hood rat and some bummy nigga had multiple locations where they could hide without being protected? Come on. This thing was orchestrated like a motherfucker. But always ask that question. How come they're not telling you where she dropped him off and where she was? Where did she drop this nigga off? Anyway, I digress, ladies and gentlemen. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio, man. Holiday edition. I hope everybody have a great time with your family. Always remember, let's keep our eyes on the empowerment prize. Everything is about black empowerment by any means necessary. And get your tickets for Hidden Colors 5 right now. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. Get the HC5 t-shirt, the Hidden Colors 5 t-shirt right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank everybody for the birthday Cash App gifts. I respect that. Much love to you guys. And I'm going to holler at you guys Sunday. Y'all be good.